hope all of you as happy as I am this morning. It's a joy to be here. It's another day. Come to refuel and get ready for the week to go out and do battle. That's what we're here for. Serve the Lord. Keep His commandments. We're going to be reading in Psalms 8 this morning. That's what I gave them as we read. Before we go to the Word, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day You've given us. What a beautiful day it is, Lord. And Father God, we know that You said You never leave us or forsake us. And as we take Your Word today and we open it, we read it, Lord, and it goes out among the people, Lord. Let them be blessed, Lord. Let it bring peace and joy into their heart and forgiveness for them, Lord. Because sometimes we forget who we are. And I know I do all the time, Lord. But You remind me that I'm Your child and that I should act like Your child. And the only way I can act like Your child is to be here and take Your Word in and let Your Word have an effect in my heart, Lord. And Father God, I ask You to bless each one here in a special way. And Lord, and just be with them and bless those that couldn't make it through the door today. And again, we pray for all the sick that's out there, Brother Danny and his family, and Brother Darty, Sister Mary there, Lord, and Miss Brother Colin, him being here this morning, all the ones. And I ask You just to lift up Brother Wade today as he's bringing Your Word to us to feed us, Lord. And let's pull on him, Lord, and make him bring those things to us, Father God, to help us get full, Lord, that we can get out of here. We ask now, Lord, that You just come down and send down the Holy Spirit to bless the service and be with us today. Forgive us of our sins and lead and guide us, and we love You. We ask these things in Your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we ready? Psalms 8, 1. Lord our God, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still be in the enemy and be the manger.
When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained. For Thou hast made Him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned Him with glory and honor. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field.
The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas.
Our Lord, our God, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. He's put all things under His feet. I remember Brother Burnham was explaining that one time. He said, we are His footstool in the book of Revelations. And all things are under our feet. Footsteps mean possession. Amen. You have to claim that land. Praise the Lord. Brother Micah, would you come this morning and lift up the tithes and offering? Come to the house of the Lord to surrender. Surrender more of our heart to Him that He may take the preeminence. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. And the more cares, the more you take control, and the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up in every
today. My cares, The more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Our problem is we try to hang on to it. We try to keep it for ourselves. God told us to give it to him. So the best thing to do is let him have it. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. I know we got several out because of COVID and different things. Brother Luis is at Brother Gene Williams. And Brother Aaron is at Brother Andre Head's in Tennessee. So just keep them in prayer that the Lord will keep them safe and bring them back home. Amen. Technology. Might get used to it one day. Maybe. Maybe. Amen. By way of announcement, remember again, Luis did a good job Wednesday night. Yeah. Wonderful job. He sparked a sermon for this afternoon. So we're going to jump on the tabernacle for just a little bit. Because you know what? That's what that is. That's the tabernacle in the wilderness. God made that natural tabernacle so we could see that we are the tabernacle of God. And God's going to use us just like he did. And I was reading a commentary a few minutes ago. You know, it's all numbers. I'm not, you know, these people preach whole sermons on numbers. I'm not much into numbers. But do you know how many years they were in the wilderness? How long? 40 years. Right? How long is a pregnancy? 40 weeks. Took 40 years for them to birth themselves into a new territory, for them to get into the land. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. After the second service today, we will have an anniversary get-together downstairs for Mom and Dad, cake and ice cream, number 64. That was a week or so ago, but since Brother Keith was here, we decided to go ahead and have it today. Just mostly all home folks. Sister Sharesh back there is just home folks anyway, so. Good to see each and every one of you with us. Lily, I'm not going to ever announce no more that you're here. So we're going to be seeing her all the time. So praise the Lord anyhow. Praise the Lord anyhow. We just got to work on your sister. Where is she at? Okay, she's not feeling well. So just remember her there. There's many that's out and sick. Remember them. Next Sunday, Brother Bob and I will be gone. Brother Bob will be at his parents' house, I guess. And I'll be at Brother Richard Hyatt's. I'm leaving on Thursday night, going to the hunting camp to do our annual work on the club in Illinois. So Brother John Durrett will be doing Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Brother Luis will be doing the first service, and Brother Aaron will be doing the second service next Sunday. So just keep those in your prayer. Also, I'll be speaking this coming Wednesday night. But Brother Landland or Brother Rolando Genesis will be with us next Wednesday night. Not this coming, but the next Wednesday night, the 24th. And Brother William Borlevon will be here on the 28th. If you'll look on our website, Brother Joe's got that all updated on a calendar. And it's all right there, calendar of events. So if you have any questions, click on the website. And right as soon as it pops up, it'll tell you all the people that are coming and all the special things that we're doing. Also, remember September the 10th, we're going to have a special prayer meeting just like we have before. We're going to open the doors at 7 o'clock. Come in here and pray as long as you want to. Soft music will be playing. This is not here for coffee and cake and for anything but talking to God. All right? Just like we did before. And it worked out really well because the next weekend is our last youth service for the year. And Brother Ronnie Long will be preaching that for us next Saturday and Sunday. So remember that. Keep that in your prayers. Also, those of you that missed it yesterday, we had a baptism here. We got number 20. And it was Brother Joel and Sister Esther and Sister Joseph. Sister Sharon Sonart. Sister, well, they know who I'm talking about. But we had a baptismal service, so Sister Sharon Sonart was baptized yesterday out here. And she had told me, and most of you know the story, she had told me a couple years ago even that she wanted to be baptized. And then about a year ago, man, it really looked bad. They sent her home to die. If you'll know the testimony, you'll hear from Sister Esther and Brother Joseph. That they give her up to die. They just sent her on home. And we just really, we were praying hard. And the Lord brought her out of it. And, brought her from a being bedridden with a catheter, being immobile, till we walked her right out here. Had to help her in, but that's okay. And we baptized her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God gave her an opportunity. And I'm telling you, folks, don't miss yours. Don't miss yours. But see, God knew her heart. God knew her heart, so he made her body, and that's what we're going to get into a little bit later. He made her body obey what she wanted. She was dying. She was going to die. I told her yesterday, I said, "You're the best-looking dead person I ever seen." She just laughed. Also, I was sitting home, I told Brother Joseph, I was sitting home last night and phone rang and it was a strange number and I looked at it and it said FaceTime. So I clicked it. It was Sharon. I said, "What are you doing? Who's with you?" "Nobody." I said, "You doing this all by yourself?" "Uh-huh." I said, "Well, you FaceTime me anytime you want to." So y'all had trained her, I guess, how to use. Esther's like, "I don't have a clue." But she was really tired. She was in the bed, but she was thanking us all for praying for her and for us being able to. I told her it was an honor to baptize her. It's not the other way around. It's an honor for me to baptize people. I just really, really enjoy it. So just keep her in your prayer as the Lord will continue. He left her here for some reason. So let's take that reason. I told her yesterday, I said, "Look, this is your day of visitation. God's visited you. You wanted this. This was your desire. So now go forward. Now let's do something." All right. And she's still, got the stroke, but she can still, she's got her mind. She knows what she's saying. So you know what? God can deal with that. Amen. Amen? God can deal with that. So we're going to pray for her. Also, Brother Paul Thompson just sent me a message and his daughter Amber has COVID. So remember her in prayer. We got several that have COVID. I'm not worried about it. Sister Cleta's 90-something years old, and if she can make it, so can we. Amen. So we're just going to keep her in prayer. But I know all of us have somebody we know that has COVID and or is sick, and we really need to pray. Need to ask the Lord to intervene in all these situations. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now, Lord, that you would help us just for a small moment of time to get out of the way, Lord. And you speak your mind to the people, Lord. Let it not be my thoughts, but be yours, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the ones that are not here, the ones that are sick. I know several watching online, different ones, Lord, that are not feeling well. Different situations, Lord, I pray that you'd minister to each one, Father. Lord, we've come to a time that it's getting closer to the end, and we see things going on in the world. But, Lord, you always said that there was a Goshen. There was a place that the children of Israel could go to, and they would be safe. Well, Father, today your word is the only safe thing there is. And, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would just be with us now as a congregation. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make, Lord. Clear us out, sanctify us, and be with us for the rest of this journey, Lord. Just be with the ones that are traveling, Brother Luis ministering to Brother Williams, and also Brother Aaron and Brother Andre Heads, Lord. We pray that you just give them the words to speak to the people, and may they get something, Lord, from the ministry. Father, thank you for the ministry here. Thank you for the words that we hear, Lord, all the time, the music, musicians, the singers, all the song leaders, all deacons, elders, and anyone that sits in a pew today, Lord, we pray that you would energize us, Lord, that you would give us strength for this journey, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been a long one. Been a long journey. Listen to this quote I found yesterday. Thirsting for Life, 1960. The prophet of God said, if men and women love God as much as they, the world, loves their pleasures. The pleasure of a Christian is serving the Lord at the house of God. We still believe, am I in the right congregation? We still believe, Brother Brown? Okay, all right. The pleasure of a Christian is serving the Lord at the house of God. You don't have to sign no cards. You can't open the door quick enough. And if the members of the church love one another enough, instead of put little clicks and pulling away from the church, brother, if you love one another so much that you hurt your heart till you get together again, that's the way it should be. Blessed be the tie that binds our heart and Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. Does it? I don't want to see him again. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Oh God, look, watch this. If we have to take every miracle out of the church. Wow. If we have to take every miracle out of the church. If we have to take all the pipe organs out. And the plush pews. And give us back that godly love, brotherly love among the people in fellowship. If we have to do all that, take it back to that again. Wow. What a quote. What a quote. 1960, thirsting for God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word. This is part 53 on Son of Man. It's heading. We're heading towards something. I hope everybody sees that. It may take us 40 years, but somewhere we're going to get to the promised land. Amen? It may take us a while. It took us almost 40 weeks anyway, so part number 50-something. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians. But today I want to background just for a few minutes. Brother Daniel Perry and his wife's on their way here, so I don't know if they got here already or not, but just pray for them. They come to honor the anniversary of Mom and Dad, so they're on the way. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, look, so ye would abound more and more. So what we're preaching today, what we've been trying to get people to see is that there's more to God. There's more to God than just raising your hand and say, God, I'm sorry, or there's more than water baptism. And there's more than coming to church. It's all together. The reason I read that quote is Brother Brown says that desire in your heart to go. Not because if you don't show up, I'm going to write your name down and put it on a wall and says, absent. No, you know what? God's going to do that. You know, I'm going to answer to me. You're going to answer to God. I don't know why people don't see that. I just don't like you. Well, I don't care. You must not like God either. For you know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So God doesn't want you just to get born again. He wants to continue. He wants to make you and sanctify you and die daily. That's what we're going to look at a little bit maybe this afternoon with the tabernacle. Because we looked at the first stage, and I don't have it up there, but we see the first stage is baby form. Justification, baby form sanctification, baby form baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you might say, that is the birth of the child. Everybody with me? All right. And it's not so much different, but it is different because you don't have to ask forgiveness of the sin you did that you asked forgiveness for yesterday if you're sincere and God forgive you. We waste a lot of our time going, God, I'm sorry for doing. If it's already put in the sea of God forgiveness, like I said before, put the no fishing sign up. Don't go back there anymore. Because God can't go back past that sign. He said he could. Amen? So let's move on with God. Well, I've got this. If it's back there, leave it. That was the problem with the children of Israel. That's why God had to let it go 40 years so all those old people, old fighters, had to die out because they kept going. Every time some little situation would happen, their cat would get sick. They'd say, oh, we'd be better back in Egypt. Right? Oh, we'd be better back eating leeks and garlics instead of this bread that was free. that had every nutrient that you needed, and they didn't want that no more. That's the same way with us. Are we going forward? Because I believe Joshua and Caleb, they were pulling those people. Come on, we got to go. And Caleb stands up and says, I'm more than able now to have that mountain. I'm 80 now. I was 40 when I started, but I'm 80 now. And you know what he did? He did exactly what he said. He took that mountain. So God will what? Honor your request. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should, you should abstain from fornication. Look, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I was thinking about yesterday, you know, when we talked about possession. Now, each one of us, we're possessed with something. Don't get quiet. We're possessed with something. Every person in this building. All right? Now, you're either possessed with God or possessed with the devil. But even though if you're possessed by one of the two, you have to be. There's no in between. All right? Then there's other things that possess you. Like, I like to hunt. All right? I like to hunt, and Brother Michael does not like to hunt. So I'm possessed with, I like to hunt. He's possessed with, I like to, whatever his is. All right? And that's human nature, but it still is a nature that we have to deal with. All right? Because look, it says, not in the lust of concupiscences, even as the Gentiles which knew not God. They didn't know God. They didn't care. But you and I do. All right, so every man possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. It's what we do with what we got. All right, so we've got the devil. What are we going to do with it? You know what you're going to do. You're going to be possessed by that, and you're going to do what the devil says. Then are you going to be possessed by God? Do what God says. Do like I said before. Can't wait till the church doors get open. Can't wait to fellowship with people. Doesn't matter if I can't say my words right. Doesn't matter if you can't say your words right. Doesn't matter if you sit in the back or the front. We put little lists together. And we do that. And we do it. We do it unconsciously. I don't like this preacher because. Because what? You just don't like him? If they preach the word of God, I really don't care what he looks like or what he sounds like. Amen? How many of you heard Brother Dale says even though he's listened to error, he got something out of it? How many of you that know you'll shut it off, buddy, and you shut it off and go to sleep anyway, so when the word's being preached. So when you shut it off, and say, I'm not listening to that guy. No, you might get something. You might get a nugget. What am I trying? I'm trying to train us as we start up this statue of perfect man. I don't want anybody to fall off. I want to make sure this foundation of faith, and by renewing of your mind, as we're reading here, and by what? By possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor. Oh, it's that preacher's fault I'm doing this. No. Right. No. I'm like, we were at camp meeting last weekend, and Brother Donnie Reagan preached on chained to a dead man. That's what would happen if a certain ruler would go into the city and take over the city. Well, he'd kill half the people. He'd leave other half alive. And just to antagonize them or just to show his authority, he would chain you that was alive to one that was dead. Now, could you imagine dragging around a dead body and it starts stinking? Right? But he also used this analogy, which is wonderful, because Paul was put in chains. He was a Roman soldier that was assigned to Paul. He was chained to him. So Paul says, hey, Roman, I'm going to church. That Roman's like, I ain't going back over there. You got to go. When Paul lifted his hands to praise God, guess what? That Roman had to lift his hands. Whether he wanted to or not. And I'm looking at Romans here. Are you letting your Roman take over you? That was the whole point. We all have Romans. We have Romans. We have dead bodies we're dragging around. Chained to a dead man. I enjoyed it. It was good. But think about it. That's what you do every day of your life. You're chained to something. Paul says, I'm happy to be in my chains. I'm happy to be in my bondage. How many of you can say that? That you're happy, because the Bible's going to tell us in a little bit that the trying of your faith, the trying of your faith, not God's faith, not your neighbor's faith, your faith, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, we've got to come to a place that we are thinking like bride, that we are thinking like the statue of a perfect man, that we're thinking like Jesus Christ. Because are we going to renew our mind back to the world? Are we going to renew our mind back to carnality? We live in that 90% of the time anyway. But to renew your mind is to renew it back to where Jesus Christ can take over, where the thoughts of Jesus Christ go into you, and that you speak those thoughts. Be transformed. So there's got to be something happens. It's not just one day you wake up and you're born again. No, there's a journey to this. That's what we've been on for 40-something sermons. There's a journey to this thing. There's everywhere you look. Look, Abraham had a journey. Type justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. 25 years he walked with the promise of God. We can't stand 30 minutes of it. So we got to renew our mind that you may prove what is that good, that you may prove. It's back in your lap now. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, you say, I can't do it. God said you could. And then if God said it, he's got to make a way. As I've said many times before, listen, 99% truth's not going to get a body change. It's going to take 100. Well, I can't do it because that first thing you said is your problem. Because the Bible says somebody's going to have to come to perfection in a body of flesh that's dying, looking older. So we've got to have our mind renewed, and it's got to be by the Word of God. On Sunday, on Wednesday, listening to tapes, praying, reading your Bible, talking to brothers and sisters about God, not about each other. Can't be with somebody 5 minutes without I'm talking about somebody else. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man, look, there's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. According as God has dealt to every man. We've read this many, many times. But there's a measure of faith each one of us has to come to. Listen, God knows. God knows we don't. But God knows what measure you're going to get to. But you don't know. And see, to me, that's the unfolding or the mystery that we all have in our life. Abraham did not know when he first said, okay, Lord, I'm going to get up and walk. He did not know that it would be 25 years. The prophet of God said he just believed. He just kept believing and kept believing and kept believing. If you would have told him at the beginning, Regina, it's going to be 25 years, Abraham, he's going to go, can't do it. I'm done to start with. No, you got to believe when you get started. Don't worry what the Bible says. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You worry about today. Let's get through today. The Bible says today is the day of our salvation. Not tomorrow, the next year, or 40 years down the road. I mean, how many of you older ones, Brother Colley and Brother Darty, if they were here today, they'd tell you, some of you older ones, Dad and Mom, would it believe 30 years ago we'd be here today? No. They'd have said, no way, unbelievable, can't happen. Then you had those people that were way back that said 1977 was going to be it. Where are they at today? Most of them have passed on. But God left it here for a reason. We are here for a reason. We're not here because God took a nap and forgot to punch the clock for the rapture. No. He's been right here with us the whole time. What? In our journey, molding us, making us, letting us go through trials and tribulations because of trying of our faith. How are you going to know if you got faith if you're not tried? Oh, no, I just got faith. Faith for what? Faith has got to be the substance of things hoped for, something you think, the evidence of things not seen. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, this is a pretty good guy, pretty good message preacher, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move a mountain and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And that word love there is agape love. It is brotherly love. It's affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. It's God's love. It is not man's love. You can only agape love me if you have agape love in you. You can only agape love me if I have agape love. You can't understand what I've been reading the scripture. You can't understand Jesus Christ without the Holy Ghost. Who is Jesus Christ? That's agape love. What do you have if you're born again? Agape love. In your soul. The problem is you've got that next realm that's got memory, reasoning, conscious. Oh, one more. Affection. Affection. Oh, we all love each other, and as long as they like my candy. But don't eat it. Get your own. No, we love it when people are happy with us, don't we? But agape love loves somebody that hates your guts. That's what brotherly kindness is. That'll be up there where people hate your guts and you still love them the same way. That's why all of our love is conditional. God's love is not. God's love is unconditional. You say, well, what about all these do's and don'ts? He's just telling you that's his mind. That's what you're supposed to be doing. If you have agape love, you will turn toward that every time. Right. Prophet of God said, a Holy Ghost filled woman won't put on a pair of pants. A Holy Ghost filled woman won't cut her hair. Not because she doesn't want to, because somebody will see it. It's because deep down inside, that agape love is inside, like Jim says. If a man can hang on a cross, if a man can go through for 3.5 years what he went through, it's nothing for me to wear my long hair. It's nothing for me to not put on apparel that looks like the world. Right. Let's just say that, because you say dresses and pants. Well, apparel that looks like the world is a fashion. And we need to get away from fashion and have on modest apparel. Amen? And we discussed that. Just make sure, listen, husbands, you're going to give an account for your wife. She's not going to give an account for you. So if you look over and you see her dressed a little bit different, a little bit, Jim's that several times. She said, hey, does this look good? I said, no, go put on something else. All right? But some of you wives would probably slap your husband and divorce him if he said that. Hello, somebody. That's being subjective to not the husband. You're being subjective to the Word of God. If you're subjective to the Word of God, then the husband's just there as a vehicle to love you. Even with filial love, but by agape love, hey, go put some under that, because when you bend over, I don't want nobody to see what I can see. Because you're mine. God's jealous. He don't want the world to see what he sees. Amen? So the first stage we're going to talk about, as we've been talking about before, is the birth. You've got to be born again. So I want us to really realize all those that were baptized. Spitting everywhere today. Everywhere that we look, we see being born again. Being born again. That's all. Lord, are we born again? Are we birthed into the body? Do we have that agape love in our soul? That's right. Because remember, I'm going to read just two quotes from Brother Brown. Says, you either have faith or either have doubt. And your soul is one or the other. There's not five senses. Now, I'm going to warn you this afternoon, I'm going to read a quote where Brother Branham in pre-1960 when he called the soul the five realms of memory, reason, conscious, and then inside the spirit. Now, we've been taught for years by Brother Dale that now God, he switched it though. Right. He didn't switch his doctrine. Right. He switched his terminology. Because he always had the center realm with faith or doubt, the next realm five, the next realm five. So let's keep it together this afternoon when we start talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness. All right? Because that's you. You're the tabernacle in the wilderness. Amen? Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Every one of us had to start as a baby. We all started as babies naturally, and we started as babies spiritually. The whole issue is you got to eat to grow. You become the Word as you eat the Word. You become the world as you eat the world. Y'all are really quiet this morning. That's okay as long as you don't fall asleep, which some of you already are, but I can't help it, folks. If this don't excite you, you need to go find something that does. I mean, ESPN will give you like 24/7 of nothing but sports. Keep you awake the whole time you'll be doing this. You know what? It's the Spirit that's anointing you. Brother Bob and I were talking a few minutes ago. You know, you got this, you got one camp over here that you listen to this preacher and you say, well, we've got all the dynamics, we need the mechanics. Then you got these over here that says, we've got the mechanics, we need the dynamics. Let's bring them together. I agree. Anything that doesn't move is dead. Some of you are close. But every once in a while, a little amen would be just fine with me. As Brother Donnie says, could you nod a little louder, please? All right? You know what? It's not getting down in the soul. All this other stuff is stopping it. Flues are being plugged up. But get down. Let that inside man work its way out. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, children of God are going to act like children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Now that heirs, what's your heir? I'm going to show you right here. That's it. That's your heir of Christ. That was Christ. But look, if so be that we what? Suffer with him, that may be also glorified together. Listen, this is not a picnic. It's a battle. Every day when you put your feet on the ground, there's a battle. Which one wins, Chief? The one I feed the most. And if Luis was here, it'd be the one I Netflix the most. He, boy, talks about Netflix. He must have stock in it or something. I don't know. He'll hear this. I'll tell him when I talk to him. But justification is what? Chopping off of your past sins. Getting rid of that old person, that old thing that bothered you. Just try to get rid of that, all right? But now look, you got to come to sanctification, and inside your soul is where the unclean spirit leaves you. All right, everybody with me on that? Not the spirit, because we're going to talk about the spirit realm, all those other little demons that can't get in your soul anymore. When we start going up the statue of perfect man, that's the ones that get in your five senses of memory, reason, conscious, effects, and imagination. Everybody with me? Because that's, you say, well, Brother Brown preached the greatest battle ever fought, and it's in your mind. Well, where is your mind? It's not your brain. It's because somebody's in the control tower telling you no, but you got this part saying, okay. Amen? So the sanctification we're talking about in baby form is getting that unclean spirit out, let it die, get it out, and don't let it come back. Because we fill it with the Holy Ghost, it seals you, as we'll talk about here in just a second. And then we talked about, excuse me, Brother Bob said he's going to speak on this a little bit, so that's good, in Ezekiel. Because see, remember, he gives you a new spirit. Now, it's not the spirit of God to begin with. Everybody with me? Amen. When we go to the outer court and the inner court is not the Holy of Holies. It's a holy place. But that inner court, several priests could go into there. Everybody with me? We'll talk about it this afternoon. You could go behind the first veil, and you'd have the candlesticks, which was artificial light. Amen? You had the shewbread, altar of incense, not the Holy of Holies. That's when you step in to sanctification. If you don't get all that stuff gone out of you and going into the Holy of Holies, this out here didn't do them people any good. It did not. If that high priest didn't go behind that second veil, the soul, and God didn't come down and take the people's sins, whatever happened in the second court meant nothing. Everybody with me? So that's the same way with God. Now that spirit isn't God's spirit, that's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. Step on into the Holy of Holies. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down, or he couldn't even live with you. You know, on the outside, I'll get into it this morning, I'll talk about it this afternoon, but the outside court, they even called, that was the court of Gentiles. That was the court of the Gentiles. Anybody can go out there. It was a mess. Sacrifices by the thousands, brazen altars, the smell of entrails burning and all that stuff, and the priests having to wash themselves. They made it. We actually didn't wait on you, but we've been waiting on you. Okay. Huh? Oh, you're listening on the car. Okay. All right. So you already knew what I thought said about you then. Okay. Boy, you can't do anything around here. There's cameras everywhere and there's whatever. So when you, but out here, but now when you go, you can't take all those other people and go into that second veil, which is sanctification. It eliminates a whole bunch of junk. Right? And there's only a certain amount of priests could go in this, but only one in that veil right there. Why did we need the veil to be rent? The world knows of Christendom that Jesus died on the cross for. And he was that high priest. And the people understand that. But you and I, when the seals broke, man didn't break them from the bottom to the top. God broke them from heaven and broke them from the top and revealed who Christ was, and that Christ could get into you and make the same life live in you that lived in him. Amen. There's the difference. That's the opening of the word in the end time. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost, seeing you have purified your soul, and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What? That's agape love. Unfeigned, which means it doesn't, if you love me, I'll love you. If you give me $10, I'll take it and I'll owe you. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Remember that quote I read at first? Fervently. I mean, how many of you really like going to work? Some of you that are retired can think back. Joe's got brothers working. Ned, you go back into the other room. But most of us don't like so much to go to work, because you know why? Because that's where the devils are. All right? But why not here? Why not here? Is it that we bring our devils here with us? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 8, verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Listen, you and I are not just here. We're predestinated to be here. We're predestinated. There is someone in this age is going to take this message and live it to a body change. Somebody. You just got to decide whether you are or not. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might what? Be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, them he also glorified. Then what can we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? But look, Romans 11 says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. You and I was what he came to die for. He come to die for the whole world. But to unveil himself to a small group of people. A bride. Amen? Amen? An intimate relationship between you and God. Not just whatever goes on out here and whatever goes on out here. No. Holy of Holies. There was two people in there. God and that person. But now it tells us to go back behind that veil, because the veil's been rent, that if we don't go behind the veil, it's death. To go behind the veil was death. We'll talk about this afternoon, though. God had one man that could go behind that veil. And it didn't bother him. Didn't matter if he was anointed. Didn't matter what kind of clothes he had on. Hello, somebody. Moses could go in that veil just about any time God told him to. Because we're going to see it this afternoon. We're going to find out something that maybe some of you didn't know about Aaron's rod. Maybe y'all come back second service. Probably not, but that didn't start. Anyway. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together and want all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We have obtained an inheritance. Go get it. You got to come get this inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Let's continue on. In whom also you trusted. Look, after that you heard the word of truth. You had to hear the word of truth to get born again. All right? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Which is what? The earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. The praise of his glory. What is the earnest of our inheritance? It's a down payment. You get the, we're going to read it this afternoon where Brother Bram said it's kind of like a button on my shirt. I like this because it was on his shirt. He said this, but he said the Holy Ghost is like a button on my shirt. He said it goes inside of you and it begins to grow. Yeah. Amen. Oh no, brother, that button always was there. Well, I'll read you a quote. One word off, folks. One word. One word off is not going to take us to a body change. Now, look, statue of perfect man. If you die, take the blood out of a man, you embalm him. This is a new quote, so you need to listen to this one. I ain't read this 42 times. This is the first time I've read it. Trouble of it is, a lot of them never get embalmed. You take the blood out of the man, he's gone. Then the only thing you do is put another blood back in him. He's going to live again. You took his blood out. Now watch. And now, this is statue of perfect man. Now we've put the blood of Jesus Christ in us, see? And that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the temperance of Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ. It's not yours anymore. Amen. That's why the renewing of your mind. It's not, well, I'm just a patient person. That ain't got nothing to do with being having godly patience. Godliness of Jesus Christ, the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ. And look, he wound it all up. And the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He's the head and controls you. And your feet is the foundation, faith, amen, controlled by the head. Take the, there you are. There's the perfect man of God. Look, when he possesses these virtues. You got to possess them. All right. Acts 1 verse 4. He said unto them, this is Jesus talking. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. We're going to take the tabernacle this afternoon. It was after the high priest went in. The high priest didn't go in there with the forgiveness. He walked in there to get forgiveness. Right. But when he come out, oh, praise God, he had it. He had it for the whole nation. Right. They depended on, that was the power that God give that high priest. He could say, oh, Lord, my all these people, they've sinned. They've done this, that, and the other. He said, sprinkle the blood seven times on the post. He said, I know what they've done. He said, but if you'll do this, you walk back out and you tell the whole nation, your sins are forgiven for a year. 1 year. But now it's not 1 year, folks. Now we go back in there. And he says, your sins are forgiven for an eternity. Amen? A more greater cloud of witness we have now. A greater thing than just... That tabernacle was totally... it was not permanent. They had to pick it up, carry it. And where is it today? Scattered everywhere. The components of it scattered everywhere. They put them in a temple. They put them over here. And they put them in Solomon's temple. Now, we know who has them. We know the Catholic Church has all the menorah and all that other stuff. What about that? The very seat of Satan has God's equipment. See how close that is, though. But you shall receive power after that you go behind the veil. After. You have no power before that. You have power when you go behind the veil. Jesus was telling him, when I get into you. Because listen, all those disciples, they knew about that tabernacle. They went to the temple. They had the outer court, the inner court. Solomon's temple was still there during that day. Remember Jesus walked up in Matthew 24. They said, well, what about this? He said, there won't be a stone left after this is over with. And they're like, it took us 40-something years to build this thing. Of course, Jesus knew. He knew they were talking about. He knew we were talking about this body. They were talking about a building. But that building did get destroyed. There's nothing left of that temple. Just some foundation stones. Right. Remember, the bride tree was eaten down to a stump. Yeah. The bride tree was eaten down to a foundation, but it didn't touch the life. The life is still there. God is going to have life. He's going to have a bride. It may look bad. You know, we always hear the quote where people said, somebody come up to us not several years ago and said, boy, it really looks bad for the bride. No, never. Never. It might look bad for the church. It might look bad for the unbeliever. It might look bad for the mate believer. But it is not bad for the bride. This is exactly where we're supposed to be. This is exactly what we're supposed to do. So if we're in the will of God, whose other will you want to be? The will of your flesh? And you shall be witness unto me, both Jerusalem, Judea, Lula, Georgia. And that power is dunamis. So in other words, you gotta go get it. The high priest didn't say, now, Lord, you're going to have to, I'm going to stream today. Sorry for the people that have to stream, that's okay. But if you stream and you're healthy enough to come to church, you're wrong. So the high priest, here we go in 2022, the high priest is going, Lord, I'm not going behind the Holy of Holies today. I got this little sniffle, but I'm going to just pull you up online. The whole nation of Israel would have died because God would have not have forgiven them of their sins. But he had to go behind the veil. He had to go do something. He had to go into the Holy of Holies. He had to be dressed right. He had to have oil all over him. He had to have certain kind of dress on, certain kind of garment on to get back there and sprinkle. And then he didn't stay there long. He come out. Because you know why? He had a message. He had a powerful message. That's why without the Holy Ghost, you can't preach a message the way you're supposed to. You can't. Because you hadn't went behind the veil. Why, Brother Ram, I always say you got to go to the backside of the desert. You got to have a burning bush experience. You got to have a Holy of Holies. You got to have an experience. Because then you can come out with power or dunamis. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing or in a you. Number two. So what is the Holy Ghost? Brother Daniel, what's the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? What's the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word. And that Spirit in them took the word and taught it or revealed it to them. And they were of that group that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's what we're talking about, confession, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess is to admit or declare oneself guilty of what one is accused of. I'm a sinner, Lord. Ain't nothing I can do about it right now, but I can only say I'm giving it to you. You said, cast your burdens on me, cast your cares, give me. Because listen, how many of us have ever forgiven ourselves of our sins? See, that's silly. We laugh about it, but that's what sometimes we do. If you justify what you do, then guess what? That's what it is. It's you justifying yourself. But let's lay it all on the altar. Get rid of it. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. I love these adjectives. I love this. We got to do something. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Possess is to acquire, get, procure a thing for oneself, to possess or to marry a wife. 1 Thessalonians said, every one of you should know how to possess. We read this before. Possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, if you sit in this church as long as you sit in this church, we got problems, trials, and tribulations. But we should know how to handle things. We should know when the devil comes and we see something and we're able to throw up a shield. All right? Maybe we can't say that about every church, but we can say that about this one. Amen? We've been taught well. So now look, when the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is here to inspire you, did you come here to get inspired by the Holy Ghost or just come in because I was going to talk about you if you didn't show up? Grief. But when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. If you say you're a drunkard, you want a drink. Don't worry, you'll get one. If you say you're a sinner and want to sin, you'll be right into it. If you say you're a Christian and believe it all along, God will bring your testimony, will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, confess it. And God will make your body obey your confession. For he is the high priest of your confession. Think about that. Some people touched the garment of Jesus, was made well. Others smacked him in the face. Remember the Romans. Hit him in the head with sticks, spit in his face. Never felt any virtue at all. It was their attitude of approach. It depends on what attitude you come in. If you come believing that you're coming to get help and you're confident that you're coming to the right person, not William Branham, not Samuel Dale, not Bob Black, Jesus Christ. And you're coming his provided way of approach. Everything had to be right. You're going to receive something if you come reverently. Just like the brass serpent. Why, the brass serpent, the serpent didn't have any virtue. It was a piece of brass they brought up out of Egypt. Neither did the pole have any virtue. Not a bit. But it was obeying what God said do. Is that what we fall off? Yes. I'll just go ahead and admit, because you're not going to say amen. I'll amen it myself. Obeying what God said do is what brought the power. Amen. Well, I don't have no power. I don't have no victory. Are you doing exactly what God said do? Are you doing everything that you humanly possible, and then not even humanly possible, but supernaturally possible? What brought the virtue is obedience to the word of God. So it's not me telling you got to come to church. If you don't have a got to come to church spirit in you, then you're of the devil. Bob didn't get many amens out of that. But that's what it is. Look. Obedience to the word of God. That's the same thing tonight. It was obeying what God said to us, what brought the power, what brought the virtue, is obedience to the word of God. Amen. Not obedience to me or anybody else. It's obedience to the word of God. Amen. So like I said before, these people are leaving a message because they say Brother Brown's wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. He's wrong here, and he's wrong there. That's okay, but if you cut your hair and wear pants and don't go to church, you're going to have to talk to God about that, not William Branham. Amen? Because God didn't change his mind about his word. And he will not change his mind about his word. Whether you believe Brother Brown was a prophet or not, you're still going to come to the day of judgment, and you're going to have to give an account of why you didn't do what the word of God said. But without faith, though, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Because look, that journey of Abraham, he had to believe that man that was talking. Listen, how many of you have had a voice talk to you in your head and say, that's God? Because sometimes that devil voice that talks to me sounds like God. Oh, I guess I'm the only one. You know, you hear this big booming voice. That don't have to be God. That can be the devil. Okay. A lot of times what Brother Dale always tell you, it was that little voice that said, hey, dummy. Wake up. All right. Not naturally, but spiritually. Hey, dummy, wake up. Because you don't have to holler and scream at you. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right. So you got to have faith in what? Faith in the word. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's continue a little bit further. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word is anakinosis. a renewal or a renovation. Like I said before, Brother Gary Krantz, if we'd have done something inside the house, but this was outside the house, but it's the same analogy. My house frame is still there. But if we were going to tear out walls and put a new kitchen in and new floors, there would be a dumpster out, and there still was one there for all the other stuff that we tore apart. But what? It needed to be renovated. God's not going to just take your body and just destroy you. No, he's going to use it. Because, see, that's Satan's got that one thing on you in his flesh. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, getting old. That even hurts for me to do that. Oh, some of y'all will say amen later on. But inside you, though, is a soul that's eternal. So God's going to use, Satan's going to go, they're getting older, God. Can't you see that? Can't you see that they're messing up? And can't you see that, oh, look at that one. Look at that one, what they just did. And God's going, all I see is a God standing behind. You see these fountains that come out of nowhere? And it's a whole sheet. Everybody seen, you seen those? It just comes out of nowhere, out of a wall, and just a whole sheet. That's a sheet of blood. Amen. God says, hang on a minute. Oh, they just repented. Right. It didn't even get to me. Yeah. It hit the blood and it was gone. Right. Oh, think about it. You take your accuser. He's got this whole list of stuff. See that? Whole list. Amen. And when he hands that to the judge, it's got to go through. It's got to go through that curtain. It's got to go through that blood. And when he hands it to God, I wished it was blank, but it's blank. When it goes through that blood, it just washes it all away. A renovation. A complete change for the worse. No, June likes her front porch screened in now. Because the Skeeters used to love her. Because she's so sweet. They didn't like me. They bit me and they died. But really, have you enjoyed your renovation?
Yes.
Have you enjoyed your renovation since you got born again? Have you enjoyed your renovation? Have you enjoyed your renovation since we're going to start at the Statue of Perfect Man and we're going to learn how to have the mind of God instead of the mind of the devil? Yes. Not going to take away our problems, but it's going to help us what? Live through them? Yes. Because these virtues, look, our old nature is contrary to God. Our old nature is contrary to anything of God. That's why we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But God's going to take that vessel that Satan is going, I'm going to give it arthritis. I'm going to give it cancer. I'm going to give it this. I'm going to give it that. And if Frida was here, I know she's watching in. Those arms are going to go up as long as there's breath in that body. And I'm going to say, thank you, God. You give me life. And you give me eternal life. Whatever happens to this dumpster that Satan gave me, there's a life in there. And God hears your voice. That's why confession is good for the soul. Confess it because you're talking into the blood curtain. And past that blood curtain is nothing but white. Nothing but white. Amen. Not even a speck gets through it.
Right. Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Thank you. My goodness. Some are saying hallelujah. Some are saying let's hurry up and get finished. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, this is Jude, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, preachers. Brother Brown said, where do I have my problem? He didn't say women. No. He said preachers. Right. My worst problem. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Look, there's people put in your life to be a thorn in your flesh. Right. But what does it do, though? God forgive them. Right. If he was out in the world, you'd figure out how to kill them. But God forgive them. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not. Did you understand what that means? God was hanging on a cross, dying. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. They didn't know that was a Messiah. They didn't know that was God in human flesh. To them, to those Romans, it was just another guy that got caught somewhere. Excuse me. And they got this judgment, and they're dying, and we're just going to take the flesh and throw it in this dumpster, and we'll never see him again. Until Joseph of Arimathea walks up and says, "Can I have that?" He was inspired by God. "Can I have that body? I want to take it down and put it in a tomb." And of course, the Roman soldiers are like, "Saves us from having to drag the stinking thing off the cross. Really? I mean, come on, that's the world. That's the world looks at you and says, why are you different?" Yeah. It's because what was inside of us is what was different. What was inside of Jesus? Because outside he didn't look different. He looked just like me and you. But inside of the inside, that was God. No less. If you're born again today, guess what? No less God lives in you too. So in other words, you got preachers preaching false doctrine, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's Jesus standing up telling them. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart, their soul is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me." He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to church people. Right. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching, preaching over the pulpit for doctrines, the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God. You hold the traditions of men." So when I asked that person one time, I said, "Look, who told you you could cut your hair? Who told you you could wear pants? Who told you you could baptize the way you get baptized? Some man had to tell you that. It wasn't God." But somebody stood in the pulpit and said, "Well, you ain't perfect, and I ain't perfect." Oh, we was talking about this at the post office. I wish they quit asking me questions. And they were quoting like, "Well, you know, we don't want to kick him back." And we don't. You see, that sign says, "Come as you are." Amen. Amen. They said, "Well, what do you do with that?" I said, "Well, I'll write one underneath that says, but you won't leave as you came. Come as you are, all you want to. Bring your dirty laundry, your rag, you know, your cutting hair. Bring it here." That's why we don't want to be exclusive. Let God be the excluder, not us. Amen? Amen. That's what happened in Ohio the other day. Yeah. Come on, people. I'm like, Terrence, it's got to be that, because they're talking. Christian, he's on the internet now. His mother. He has a relationship with his mother and stepfather he's never had before, he said. Amen. Never had a relationship like that since we left from up there. They saw God in human beings. And that, you know what? That brings them closer. You know what? God can help them if he brings them closer. That's why I hate being exclusive. But come as you are. What happened with Susan? Well, not Susan. Hey, Susan. What happened with Cindy, thank you. You knew where I was going with this. Cindy would come to church. Most of y'all know who Cindy was? Okay. That was Donnie's first cousin. She came here, man, she had like tar in her hair, so black, she was an older lady, wore pants, and I mean, 3 gallons of lipstick, everything else, right? She came for a few months, and she was peeled up as she could be. She wouldn't mind me telling you this, because she had a change in her life. She came as she was. She stayed here for several months. You know, people start murmuring, "Well, when you going to say something about that dress code? When you going to say something about them lips? When am I going to say anything about you? You want to start picking something? We'll just start picking right now." But what happened to her, though? Somewhere, something clicked. We didn't look at her and say, "Now, Cindy, you got 30 days And after them 30 days, you can't walk through that door no more. Listen, Jesus hung around sinners. He hung around prostitutes. He hung around alcoholics. He hung around people like that. Why? When Jesus stood up one day and they asked him, why do you do that? He said, these are the people I come for. You I can't help. You religious people I can't help. But I'm going to help these common people, okay? But now preaching the word of God, Brother Dale, preaching every Wednesday, every Sunday, never said hardly a word about nothing, about no dress, no hair. Amen? Am I telling the truth? But one day, here comes Cindy in with a dress on. I think you helped her get some. Here comes Cindy with a dress on. Then here comes Cindy. She didn't have no red lips. She quit putting earrings. Oh, she had like fish lures. You ever seen those? I mean, it turned their head and it's like they slap everybody around them. Why do you do that? I don't know. I mean, it just drags your earlobes down, and when you get older, you're going to look like an elephant. But anyway, it's not good for you. But who took her in the office? He didn't. Who took her in the office and said, you got to straighten up? No, there was a change. Just a real subtle change. A real subtle change. She quit wearing earrings. She quit wearing her pants. She come up to the altar. She wanted the Lord to change her life. She never cut her hair after that. Never wore pants. Now, most people in the message would have given her 30 days and would have took her in the office and said, don't come in here anymore with that apparel on. Now, listen, folks, there is a point. But if you really preach the word of God to somebody, if you really get down to the word of God and preach to the people, and it clicks in their soul, that soul will turn them, not you. I'm not turning people today. God's going to have to do it. God's going to turn what's inside of you. And you say, well, Cindy's not with us. She's an older lady. She's in a home, right? I believe she's saved. Yeah. I believe she's going to heaven. We will see her.
Yeah, right.
We didn't throw her out. Amen. We preached to her. Yeah. And we didn't preach to her. Right. You don't have to do that. Amen. But what if she'd have been in a place where they held the traditions of men? Of washing the pots and washing your face and putting on the right kind of clothes. Now we know, we preach holiness. You know that. We don't preach greasy grace. You're not going. Cindy wasn't going to be here a year still doing what she was doing. But you could just see something, the wheels turning. Now some people, you know what's going to happen? They're either going to stay or leave. They ain't going to stay under this. And we've had some move into our midst and then leave, you know. And they did it on their own, right? And they did it on their own, right? I was watching a baptism the other day. We baptized a couple of people that, I can't remember what his name is, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So anyway, but you see those people, I mean, you still pray for them, but they'll ease themselves out. You don't have to preach them out. They'll ease themselves out. But also them people will ease themselves in too. Right. Amen. If we'll just preach the word of God, drop a little truth in every once in a while. Drop a little bit of reading of the Bible, of Deuteronomy and Corinthians and how to be a good Christian and how that God will change you, not you change God. But by the traditions of men, that's what Jesus was telling them. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. That you may keep your own two-soul doctrine, or seventh under doctrine, or I will come here with this seed in me. That's tradition. That's not God. So they lost that. That was lost faith. So we had to get back to the faith of the fathers. We had to have a man named William Branham that we put our confidence in, that God brought the mind of himself through that man, and that man could just move over.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And God could say, thus saith the Lord.
Come on. Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. This is what I'm trying to tell you, people. Brother Brown will say that. God is trying to get us back to the faith of the fathers. That's what the Elijah ministry was done to, right? It was done to bring us back to the faith of the fathers. Back to what? Get rid of the traditions and get back to the faith of the fathers. Everybody all right? Let me read this quote real quick and then we'll close. Now in the Old Testament, when that son was adopted or placed into the family, look, his name was just as good on the check as his daddy's was. They had a ring in them days, a signet. Brother Man makes a spitting sound and hits the pulpit. Well, I'm not going to do that. Spit on it, place it, there was a signet. That was just as, he wore his daddy's ring. It wasn't his, it was his daddy's. And that was just as good as his daddy's. Now, when Jesus had been obedient, Jesus to God, God placed him positionally, this is him. Now, listen to this right here. Now, when the member is born by the Holy Ghost into the family of God. All right, stop right there. That's what we've been talking about for the past 50 sermons, trying to get you to the new birth, to where the Holy Ghost births you into the family of God. And has proven to have these virtues in him, continue on, that God can see virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness in him. Then God seals him or places him. Now listen, you can take this quote. And some of the people in the message say, well, see there, brother, you got to be all the way up there before God seals you with the Holy Ghost. See, there is a doctrine in the message. You got to go all the way up here before you get the Holy Ghost. You can't get these virtues without having the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
That is a sealing of everything else. Remember, Sister Shepherd's dream, water, trash. She is already born again, but she had some trash. Same way with me and you. Then God seals him or places him. And there, that's when you see the sons and daughters of God. Let's read this real quick. Perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. Let's continue on. Now, we didn't get into this, but remember, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that what? You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Is that scripture? You say, oh, I got these needs. Let God start taking care of them. Problem is, you don't want it. You want to keep them. Well, you can amen if you want to. What did Brother Brown tell about that woman? So, Brother Brown, why did that evil spirit come back on that woman? You know what he said? She loved it. She loved the spirit, so it came right back. That's our problem. That's my problem. That's your problem. You get through with something and something else pops up. You get through with something else pops up. But the trying of your faith worketh patience. Trying of your faith. So it's got to be tried. The Bible says with fire. Oh my goodness. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now James tells us, says, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now as we continue on down through here, we know what that is. James looks like it means it's all works, and Paul's talking about all of faith. But now look, watch this right here. Thank God for a prophet. Faith without works is dead. All right? Now Paul was speaking in Romans about justifying Abraham by faith, and James is justifying him by works. But it does not contradict. Paul was speaking of what God saw. James was speaking of what man saw in Abraham. I want to ask you today, before we close, Paul is talking to you through the Bible about what God sees. All right? Right? Got it? Paul is telling us, justified by faith. You believe in God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. And then James comes back and says, hey, faith without some works is dead. So what are you doing? So you're on this side of that blood shield. Because on this side of the blood shield, you're God's kids. You're perfect. That Genesis 1:26 man is perfect. But there's a part of that still inside of you on this side. Everybody with me? So what you got to do is you got to make sure this is going to hurt. That you make sure that the people on this side see the same thing God sees on this side. Everybody with me? That hurt, didn't it? Brother Daniel. At least it was a frontal assault, not from the back. But look, that's what Paul was talking about, what God saw in Abraham. He was, nothing was accounted to Abraham on this side. Everybody with me? Perfect. stagger not at the promises of God on this side. But over here on this side, we're reminded he gave his wife away twice. He laughed at God one time. He did all these things. He was supposed to go by himself. He took Lot with him. He was supposed to go here. He went there. But over here on this side, God said, man after my own heart. David on this side, murderer, liar, adulterer, apple of my eye. The man I want to see is right there. So same way with me and you. Let our now though, they did that without the new birth. We have the new birth on this side. Supposed to be the same as on this side. So the veil's been rent. Face to face. Let's stand. Let's let the people see from this day forward what God sees. There's your works. It's good to have faith. Know all mysteries. But have not love. Have not the love of God in your heart. God bless you. Paul was speaking of what God saw. James was speaking of what man saw in Abraham. Let's do one more quote. Look, what faith you have, that's what God sees. But what your works is what your neighbor sees. Are they the same? Show me your works by your faith, without your faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith. Our neighbors are homosexuals. And I think everybody knows that pretty much. And they know we go to church, and they've asked us probably more questions about what our religion is than people in the community. They just have their own opinion. But Mike said, "What is it? I mean, just tell me what is it you believe?" So we did, kind of, you know, in a short version. Now, what if though none of y'all, well, Mom and Dad lived behind me, and Terrence and all them too. But what if you lived isolated off in the woods somewhere like you did? And you're down there and you go, don't tell me you can't hide it. And I don't know who's smoking cigarettes. I'm just saying that because I had a revelation this weekend. My aunt that I've known for 50 years, I never knew she smoked cigarettes. Pat Turpin. Did you know Pat Turpin? So I see there, I did the same thing. Yes, ma'am. All of her life, I told Ray, her husband, I said, when did she start smoking? He said, when did she stop? He bought 3 packs of Virginia Slims, and I knew they weren't for him. I said, who are you getting them for? Of course, me. He said, Pat. Did Pat smoke? Yeah. I didn't even know it. So see, you can hide it, but you can't hide it from God. And I don't know anybody smoking, but let's just put whatever else we do when nobody's around to see it, okay? Cigarettes or whatever you want to say, but that was a revelation. It was to me, buddy. I'm like, whoa, really? Look right here. Let me get to this, and then we'll close. That's what's the matter with the people today of this world. Many of them has faith, but they're afraid, Brother Daniel, they're afraid to launch out with it. You're just afraid to venture a little bit.
Come on now.
Just say, well, I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Step out. Take what you got and use it. What have I been telling you all year? Whatever you got, let it out. If it's the devil, we want him out. If it's God, we want him out too to show, because he's not going to leave. But he's going to show. Let man see what God sees. I know that's hard. I know we're humans and we do things contrary to God every day. But he said in his word that we got to be perfect. Complete. Do the things of God. Worship him in spirit and truth. And do the right things. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Sing one verse. It's almost 12. Creation.
brand new man. Let's sing "Ain't God Good" one more time and then dismiss.